thank you for another opportunity today, Father, to hear your word. And Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do in our lives today. Father, thank you for the blessings that you bestowed on us yesterday and the ones we look forward to today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to start off by just kind of, I don't think we've read this in the message. Since it's such a short one, I was going to start off reading it in the message. You want to read it?
Yeah. 87.
87.
He founded Zion on the holy mountain, and oh, how God was his home. Was it far better than all the homes of Jacob put together? God's hometown.
I like the way the message says that, you know, because when you read it in the other, it just says, you know, that the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. But when the message is, oh, how God loves his home, loves it far better than all of them.
That's
good. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Because we know what his home is.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God's hometown, oh, everyone there is talking about you. I name them off, those among whom I'm famous. Egypt and Babylon, also Philistia, even Tyre, along with Cush. Words getting around, they point them out. This one was born again here. The words getting out on Zion, men and women right and left, get born again in her. God registers their names in his book, this one, and this one. Born again right here. Singers and dancers give credit to Zion. All my springs are in you.
Yeah, that's, wow. All the study that I've done in the 87, I had not read it in the message. And then this morning early, I read it in the message, and I should have been reading that from the beginning. I like how, you know, just when you look at, before we get back into it and hopefully finish up today, you know, you look at this Psalms 87 as a whole, and I automatically had to go to Colossians, first chapter, verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And by him, so we're talking about in him and by him, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood on the cross. I mean, that's what it reminded me of when reading Psalms 87, is a very all-inclusive, you know, invitation to Jesus, even though it was to the Lord at that day. But, you know, needless to say, Jesus is everywhere. And That just kind of really hit me. So anyway, I like the way it came out in the message where, you know, they actually used the words born again. You know, I like that. I like that it says that men and women, right and left, get born again in him. Mm-hmm. Right and left, you know, when you're looking at where people are, you know, they're not up and down, they're right and left. And so that's everybody.
Sheep and goats.
Yeah, it's all inclusive. Even the goats. So, yeah, so anyway, I thought that was really cool. And
what was that you read, Colossians? Yeah.
Colossians, first chapter, verse 19.
Thank you.
Yep. And there's another one. You know, first chapter of Ephesians talks about how God is inclusive of all people. I mean, Jesus died for all. I mean, not for this group or that group or the other group. It's all inclusive.
And you mean he didn't just die for the Christians?
honestly, that's what you hear out there. And it grieves me, but I have to let them come the way I came. And that's the important thing.
Right.
Keep my mouth shut. And that's what why anymore.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's why anymore I can't even go on Facebook, because I go on Facebook and I see someone posing as a Christian talking this other talk that's not what we believe, all sitting around this table here, and it's just, so I just, you know, I just say, okay, I don't need to be in there at all, so I won't be in there, so.
The Christians, it's still like, that was a wonderful newsletter that EB sent out this week, I don't know if you got it or not, but kind of went along with what I'm going to be saying this morning too, but EB was talking about how God has delivered people out of Egypt, but now he's delivering Egypt out of people.
That's what we talked about last week.
And yeah, and you see these guys on Facebook or whatever, they aren't Christians, they are born again.
Sure they are.
It's just that they need to get the Egypt out of them. And God's doing that, he's doing it.
Well, it's like that scripture that says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I did all those things as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Well, you can't take a child, someone's childlike understanding, and expect them to act like a man.
Can't be a baby at stake.
You can't, and what you have to do is you have to gradually bring them up. And I believe that's where we make mistakes sometimes when we're in a deeper word. We will meet somebody or something that we know is kind of on a lesser level than what God has brought us to, and rather than line upon line and precept upon precept, we'll throw something out there pretty heavy, and then what happens is once you offend them, can forget it.
That's right.
They're not going to open any opportunities for you to ever come minister in their church. They're never going to open any opportunities for you to talk to any of their loved ones or anything, and they're going to have a skeptical eye towards you because you just told them something that according to their doctrines, you know, which is the doctrines of men a lot of times, is foreign to them. And you know, we have to be very, very careful because fellowship with people on the level that they're on and let God gradually bring you to a place where you come up a little higher with them each time. And you'll be surprised because after a while, you'll find, you'll hear them saying the same things you're saying after a while. But if you throw that big stuff out there out of home right off the bat, you're going to offend them and you've lost them. And some, once you offend a brother, it says this in Scripture, it's harder to win, it's easier to win a city than somebody you've offended. So we're better off if we, I'm saying that because we all have a tendency to sometimes we want to tell people the deeper things that we know. And, you know, you can absolutely turn them off. I believe, didn't you say one time, Kathy, that they asked you to teach down in Florida, and you felt like you needed to tell them what you believed?
Just one time.
And what did that do? Close the door for you. Yeah. And see, sometimes it's better not even tell them. Just share.
He called me a heretic, and he named my heresy.
That's what I'm saying. See, so we have to be, like Scripture says, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, sometimes we don't always use wisdom in that. And we need for God to start opening up opportunities for us to even get out into the mainline churches. Mm-hmm. And if we throw that big stuff out there over and hit them over the head with it, you forget it.
That's don't you guys all have the big stuff?
Well,
and he always said, and I remember Brother Shepherd always saying this, you know, I come to you with simplicity, basically.
Yeah, right.
You know, and with being whatever I need to be to that person in Christ, you know.
Right.
And whoever's...
Well, Brother Eddie said this, sons of God are they that can send and condescend the men of all the states. Mm-hmm. I've heard him say that before. And until we learn that lesson, we're going to find that we're going to offend people and we're going to turn them off. And like I say, once you turn them off, it's hard to get them to turn them back on. Mm-hmm. And it takes the Lord to really reveal the things to them anyway, but you can gradually bring them up into that revelation, you know. And I'm not going to talk a lot of it. I know, like, when I first started talking to people in the church about the sovereignty of God, I got a lot of flack from people from that about that years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really did. But you know what? Now, just about everybody in this church believes in the sovereignty of God. it's something that you have to come to that revelation, and you have to bring people to that very gently and easily until they can actually see it. And
Paul had an interesting conversation with the Corinthians too, when he said, "I came hoping to feed you some meat." And he said, "He's dull of hearing." And he said, "Now I have to resort back to the first elementary principles and feed you with milk." And when I looked up that word dull, it meant stupid. That was a pretty harsh word. When I was in here last week with Debbie, I said, "Look up the word dull." And she looked it up, and it meant stupid.
Can I give you an example? You know when Van, one of the times he came with me, when we went out to play golf with him, I told you I wanted to ride with him in his car, and I rode with him. And the first thing he started telling me is when we're riding in the car, he says, "You know, some of the guys down in North Carolina said, be careful when you go up there, because those people are a total wreck." Total reconciliation.
Total wreck,
he said. And I said, "Well, man," I said, "let me ask you a question." I said, I quoted him a few scriptures. And I said, "Isn't that what the scripture said?" And he says, "Well, yeah. And I told him, I said, "You might come in our church 20 or 30 times and never hear anybody say, get up and say, 'Well, today I'm going to preach a message on total reconciliation.'"
Never been that.
I said, "It doesn't happen." I said, "But it's kind of interwoven in the teaching." And I said, and we talked about it a little bit. And then, Jim could attest to this, that night he preached a sermon on total reconciliation. It was a total reconciliation sermon. He said, "I've never preached this sermon before." But the Holy Spirit started dealing with him, and I don't think he even realized what he was doing. But me and Jim kept looking at each other, smiling across the house. we was making faces at each other. But see, that's the thing. I think a lot of times we're too quick to tell people what our doctrines and stuff are, rather than just loving them, fellowshipping with them, building that rapport, and gradually letting God take it a little farther and a little farther. And, you don't give a baby a steak when he's a baby. You can give him some steak, but you might have to throw it in a blender and get it down to where he can take it. And then eventually he'll get some teeth, and then you can give him a little bit more. And eventually, as he gets old enough, you can give him the whole steak. He can cut it for himself. But sometimes I feel like we don't use a lot of wisdom. We want people to come up to that knowledge, mm-hmm. but we're just not using the wisdom and getting mm-hmm. there. I just felt like I needed to say that, because I think we all sometimes have a tendency that sometimes we tell people a little bit too much mm-hmm. when people are talking to them,
That, Jim Hart, I just say I was a caregiver, and Jim Hart said you're a love giver, and I've experienced and am experiencing this. The people I take care of, they're elderly, and the one lady's 93 years old, and she's saved and been saved for years, but God just has me love her, and then she's so open, and out of loving people, they accept you, and then gradually he's been giving me things. I'll be sitting there sharing something, have no idea, and nothing planned to say, and it comes, and I can see a light bulb go off. I can't tell you how many times in her. And then she'll ask something about a scripture, we'll look up, and God has really been just dealing with her and really been revealing himself. A minister and his wife referred me to her, because she went to, they go to the Nazarene church, but he was a church, a God minister, and I got saved, and they go there, and she has a lot of confidence in him, because her husband and him were very good friends before he passed. But they all, because they see such a difference in her, even her children, they were going to put her in a nursing home, but how God has touched her. But she's been sharing with me lately that she really feels that God is preparing her, like he's going to, take her. I mean, I've had her in the emergency room a couple times and all, but I thank God for the relationship we have and what he's speaking to her. Because she'll share some things with me, and I know only God reveals. sealed those things and opened up to her, and I think it's so precious.
Amen, amen.
Sorry if we got off.
No, that's fine. Hey, that's, it's Sunday school class.
That's something that we really need.
Jesus is the teacher.
We really, really need to pray about that, you know.
I agree.
Be very careful there.
Well, I mean, good experience is when I first came into this, a close friend of mine, he'd been saved for years and years and years. You know, went into him and started talking to him and all that. And after that day, I haven't talked to him since. I mean, I've talked to him a couple of times, but we've not had the fellowship since. And you know, that was 17, 18, 20, 27 years ago. I've been here for almost 20, so it was over 20 years. It was actually before I think I started coming here.
You know, we had a brother in the Lord who was actually an elder in this church, you know. I don't know if God had, I don't think God had ever really opened up total reconciliation to him at that time, years ago. And he happened to go past the Sunday school class, the adult class that you guys used to have, and you guys were going over Ray Prentice's Book of Revelations. And he was standing out in the hall. He was listening.
Yeah, big time.
Well, I wasn't even in that class because, I mean, I was teaching a class out in another place. And he called me on the phone, and he said, "Bryce," he said, "can I ask you something?" And I said, "Well, sure." He says, "They were talking about total reconciliation." And he says, "I don't know about that."
That's good.
He says, "Is that a church?"
And
that was okay. He approached me. I didn't approach him. And he says, "Is that a true doctrine?" And I said, "Well,
I don't even look as a doctrine."
I said, "Yeah." He says, "Can you explain that to me?" I says, "Well,
pray about it."
I said, "I can try." I said, and I was going with him, and I basically said, "Lord, what should I say to him?" Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I did on the side. I said, "Lord, what should I say to him?" And what the Lord had me do was quote some scriptures to him and let him finish the scripture. Starts quoting the scripture and let him finish it. And I didn't say another word. And after we went through that, and I can't even remember the scriptures that the Lord gave me at that time. I couldn't even tell you if it wasn't important. But you know what? You know what he said to me? He said, "My God, Oscar, that tears down everything I've been taught." And I said, "Well, it wasn't me, tears down. It was the Holy Spirit." And I told him, I said, "Well, brother," I said, "you told me what the word said. I said, I asked you some questions, and you gave me a scripture, and we kind of went back on it. But I'll tell you this, and there's another example. He went out to some other people who were coming to our church and started trying to explain that to them, and boy, they cut off fellowship with him. He called me back on the phone, and he says, "I guess I really messed up." He said, "I was talking to somebody about that total reconciliation," and he said, "Man, they just couldn't get it."
And probably took the seed from him too.
And I believe he did eventually. I believe he did back off.
Because then he's like going,
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe Wings is a bunch of coots.
He did back off. But see, if he'd have just left it alone and let the Holy Spirit deal with it. And it was his own scriptures that he quoted. It wasn't necessarily mine. I asked him some questions and said, "What does the word say about this?" And he told me, "And what does it say about that? And what does it say about something else?" And he was quoting these scriptures. And he quoted them, I mean, to me, the way it went. And by the time we got done, he got real quiet. And all of a sudden he says, "My God, that tears down everything." I said, I just kind of smiled. And I thought, "Well, Lord," I said, "Well, buddy," I said, "you're the one that answered it." I said, "So, you know, but it takes God to give him that stuff." But I'm just saying that we need to be wise in that, because I'm telling you what, we can actually cause somebody to stay in a bad situation a lot longer if we're not careful. Because when we've had an opportunity to help bring them up to a little higher level, we've stepped over the bounds a little bit if we're not careful.
All righty, let's go to Psalms 87:4. We didn't get finished with this. In fact, I this week I was asking the Lord, Lord, there's more than what you've given me so far, and he gave me more. Isn't that amazing, you know, when you ask the Lord?
Just real quickly, will you go over what that Rahab?
I'm going to do the whole thing, because he incorporated a bunch more into what we talked about last week, and wow.
Because Rahab was not what I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Rahab is not the Rahab in Jericho. That's the actual spelling of that is R-A-C-H-A-B. But it is spelled the same in the Bible, but it's not the same. It's mm-hmm. a different word. They have similar meanings, though. That's what's interesting. But anyway, we're not going down that rabbit trail today. So, okay. So I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there. Well, you know, that's why I like the message where it just basically broke it down and said, I named them off, those whom I'm famous, you know, and it's like, you know, what do you mean there, those whom I'm famous? I mean, he sees the beginning from the end. He sees it all are included. But I asked the Lord, why these? You know, where's this area of the country? Where's that area of the country? Why Egypt? Why these? And man, I'm telling you, it was really, really, really neat. So go back to Rahab, and the word means breath. And that's not B-R-E-A-T-H, that's B-R-E-A-D-T-H, breath. It also means storm. It also means arrogance. And even Julie brought out last week, it's a mythical sea monster. Well, guess what that sea monster, guess the color of that sea monster's eyes?
Green.
Envy, jealousy. But it's emblematic of Egypt. Fierceness, insolence, and pride of the sea. And whenever you talk about body of water, you're talking about people. You're talking about groups of people or whatever. Coming out of Egypt, is what, you know, we were talking about earlier, when coming out of Egypt, you know, is coming out of the world system into God's system, into the kingdom of God. The Lord took the Israelites out of Egypt, set the people free, and he's setting us free by taking Egypt out of us, you know, like we said earlier. This is what the Lord gave me on this. He said, because of what Jesus did, you don't have to stay in Egypt. He will take care of all your insecurities, arrogance, pride, envy. Remember, the word Rahab means breath, meaning bread, which means Jesus covers or forgives a wide range. Breath is, you know, wide range of your sins and faults, meaning all of them. And another definition of breadth is a comprehensive quality. The breadth of his love and compassion is for everyone. You know, Jesus so loved, or the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. So he so loved the world that he gave himself to all. And so when you think of Rahab, why was Rahab in there? It's basically that in this walk with the Lord, you know, he will increase and we will decrease. And as we decrease, all the burdens and all the stuff that we carry around will fall off of us, and we will not be carrying around stuff that we've been carrying around, our past, our baggage, our the garbage that we think about that's not of God. All that goes, and he will take it all, and he will fill it with his love and compassion for him and for others. You know, so
as we get our mind renewed.
That's it. So that's kind of what he gave me on that.
And thank God we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The Old Testament saints couldn't say that. They had the law.
They had the law.
New Testament, we have the mind of Christ.
And just like we were saying earlier, some people think we're out of our mind. Yeah, we are. And it is mind.
There's one place where it talks about even the spirit, it's time out of mind.
Yeah.
It's one of the definitions it gives.
The spirit is what?
Time out of mind.
Time out of mind.
Yeah. It's where we get out of our time, out of our mind, into his presence. Yeah.
Well, if I can get through these three, I think we'll have a lot to talk about. And I don't think I'll get through these three, but I'll try. Okay, Babylon, we talked about last week, is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mixture. There's soul and spirit mixed together. There's a mixture of flesh and spirit. And Babylon is considered a, emblematic of the church, the organized religious church. It's confusion because we've just been talking about it.
You're mixing the truth with, leaven, whatever.
Yeah, there's an element of truth there, but then it veers off to the path, I guess, is the best way to put it. So
even think of what that word, when somebody says, well, they were babbling on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they were coherent. There was just going.
So it also, it also means to mix, mingle, confuse, confound, to mix oneself among others. And then, of course, we talked about the Tower of Babel. Why was the Tower of Babel? That's, basically, man's way of getting to God, And so what did God do? He confused their language. He confounded their language, which is exactly what the word Babylon means. So, this is what the Lord showed me there. It said, because of what Jesus did, you don't have to be in confusion. The mixture is no mixture anymore. Whether it be,
unadulterated.
Yeah, it's pure and unadulterated Jesus all the way. So, okay, that's where we ended up. Let me try to get a little bit further here. Let's go to Philistia. Philistia is a land of sojourners, the wanderers, the general territory on the west coast of Canaan, or the entire country of Pakistan. I mean, aren't they're still wandering. To this day, 2016, there's just confusion and wandering going on. Also, the root means to roll in ashes or dust, which is, of course, an act of mourning, and to wallow in ashes. What the Lord shared with me on that is because of what Jesus did, your battles belong to the Lord. He is your rock and binds us together with him. You don't have to wander around aimlessly or condemn yourself any longer, nor do you have to wallow around in self-pity. what it's meant to do is to bind not only us with the Lord, but bind us together in unity.
To come to the knowledge, the revelation knowledge that we're one with him.
Yes.
Instead of two.
That's it. So quickly, I'll do Tyre, and it's a rock, flint, hard pebble, used as a knife to bind, besiege, confine, cramp, to show hostility to be an adversary, to treat as a foe, to bind together. That word flint, I like this scripture here in Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So that just really fits into what we've been talking about here. Flint is a hard stone, smoothness, to dream prophetically. And this is really interesting.
And to circumcise the flesh.
just, no.
I'm sorry.
To be healthy and strong, to restore health. Okay. And then what the Lord showed me was, because of what Jesus did, you can be healthy and strong, or have your health restored if you need it restored. All your prophetic dreams come true because the rock of your salvation is in control. You can be bound together with him and his body. Now, with the knife, you have the ability to rightly divide the word, just like it is in, what is it, Hebrews 10, where the word of God is quick and powerful, dividing asunder soul and spirit. But it's, and also to allow that knife to circumcise the flesh of your heart, cutting away the flesh of your heart to reveal new life. So, and then Ethiopia, and then we can talk. Ethiopia is Cush, Ethiopia Cush. It means black. It's the son of Ham and grandson of Noah. Benjamin mentioned only in the title of Psalm 7. And what the Lord showed me here is because of what Jesus did, all the dark areas of our life are filled with life, light. So.
Because of his life. Now. Not ours.
So anyway, there's no accident why those were listed, so we can get, we have, what, you want to start, you want to talk about that or wait until next week? What do you want to do?
I got to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we probably should, I guess we should just wait until next week.
Well, you thought we'd get done today, and we didn't get done with
the line first. Well, we talked about a lot of
things. I thought we'd get done last week. I'm trying, guys.
Praise God.
The Lord's patience.
It's an eternal
There's a
word.
Lot there.
It is.
There's
no finishing yet.
That's right.
It is finished.
Well, you know, it's interesting in the message where it says, I'm going to talk about these people, among whom I'm famous.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
yeah, like
they are negative. They're negatives. But I'm famous among them. That's where you get to know God, is in the negative areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your pride, it's in your confusion, and things like that.
Go ahead and pray, Kathy.
Father, we just thank you for all that you're giving us. Father, just strip away the lower man, and help us to let this mind that is in Christ be in us as you are. Father, help us to learn to rely on you. Help us to learn to understand that you are all and in all. And none of these other things, things of this earth, matter one bit. The things of earth will pass away in the light of your glory and grace. Father, we love you. We just want to continue on until you know us so completely and we know you so completely.